Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is Hebrews 11, 1 to 16. Hear again that first verse that reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen." This is a portion of our text. In this world, we have the Hall of Fame, right? A place, an honored place to be, and the people that are named there stand as an inspiration and model for generations to come in their respective fields. So who inspires you in your Christian faith? Today, the writer of the Hebrews is bringing you into a very special Hall of Fame, that is the Hall of Faith. If you look back at your bulletin, maybe you can find out how many examples the writer of the Hebrews has listed there. Now, what makes these people so memorable? It is their faith, right? And faith is that kind of odd thing that has a logic all of its own. It's not that it's not important. No, it is very important, necessary for healthy living. But it is odd in the way that it works. It can't exist by itself. It has to exist with something that's beyond itself, something that it can put its trust in, that it can grab onto and hold. If you believe it, you receive the benefits. If you don't, then you don't receive the benefits. But if you do, it has a life-changing experience. Faith is also something that can't be proven, like knowledge. For example, your parents know if you're their child, right? But you have to believe, you have to have faith that you are your parents' child. Why do you think it becomes so disruptive for a child when they realize that they've been adopted? Yeah. Now you begin to understand what faith is like. You trust reality. Now, faith, trust, and belief are words that are all similar in meaning, but belief, well, it can be neutral. For example, we have the scripture passage there, Genesis chapter 10, verse 9, that says of Nimrod, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Nimrod existed, but what does that have to do with faith? It's just true. Faith can, a belief can also be as simple as believing that something exists, but it may or may not be faith. Faith can be frightening, like believing there's monsters under your bed or in the closet at night. Not very helpful. James chapter 2 points out, you believe that God is one and you do very well, but even the demons believe and shudder. Faith not only includes belief, but it includes trust. Confidence that something that's not, that you cannot see exists. And that it is good and beneficial. Yes, faith must have its object. It cannot exist on its own. Faith has to trust something other than itself. Faith has to believe something. And so it is that we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. But we wouldn't know it unless someone had told us. You see, that's what the Old Testament is about and all the New Testament. We weren't there to see Jesus walk and live among us. And yet the scriptures were written down for our learning as the Old Testament pointed forward to the coming of the Christ and the New Testament points back to when he has come and will come again. And so Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Now the writer of the Hebrews gives us many examples, and he demonstrates it, that faith must have an object as it was for Sarah. He says, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, and even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Again, the object, Him, that is God, the Lord Himself, what He had promised, His Word. She knew by His Word, and as you have listened these past three Sundays, we have heard the promise to Abraham, and even the one time that Sarah overheard that promise, right? But Sarah didn't have this power to conceive on her own. It was through the promise. The promise had power because of the word that was given to her, and the word had power because of who gave it, the Lord Himself. You see, faith has no power or existence of its own. It has to have this object. It has to draw the strength from it. That object has to have the power. We see how this works out in Ephesians chapter 2. As Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing." Now, you could call it, "and this is not of your own doing," could refer to grace. It could refer to mercy. It could refer to faith. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Faith, a gift. Not only this, but our very being is a gift. As Paul continues on, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do, that we should walk in them." Even the very things that we are going to be doing in life, God set out for us to do. It's all a gift. Just like it was for Sarah. God had laid out the good things for Sarah to do. He caused her to come into being. He caused her to be made a woman and gave her the parts to make her a woman. He gave her the ability to bear her one and only child. But it was the Word of God that caused her to have faith. And in the most laughable, difficult circumstances caused all things to work together, and she bore a son, Isaac. For faith to be beneficial, the power of that object has to be good. That initial cause, the source of faith, and as human beings, we have to trust. In fact, the very reason that you're sitting in the pews this morning tells me that you are people of trust. You walked into this building. You didn't check out who built the building before you came in, did you? You came in and you sat down in the pew and didn't even check it out, did you? You assumed. Can you imagine what life would be like if you had to check out everything before you entered into the building, before you sat down? It'd make you paranoid, wouldn't it? Trust gives us peace. And the ability to go on. Hebrews 11 also points out that faith has conviction. If you trust it so much that that's the way you live. And no matter what happens, you hang on to it. Just like Abraham and Sarah, who were both beyond the age of having a child, and yet they believed, they trusted, they had faith, they had conviction in what the Lord had said. But as you know, buildings fail, and people fail us too, don't they? And they put things together that fail us because they did not trust and have conviction in the good, in the giver of all good things, to use them in His good way. You know, all of us have bought cars, right? Yeah. And you buy a new one and then you get a recall and then you're supposed to trust them, right? And yet, This unfaithfulness, isn't it true of us all? We have this part of us that just wants to do things our own way. We have this part of us that wants to, just for a moment, to, and maybe even longer, deny that God even exists when we want to choose our own way. And then we make a mess out of things. Yeah, if you'd go ahead and read about Sarah and Abraham in the Old Testament, we can see the hurt, the trouble, the devastation caused by a lack of faith. You know, when Sarah, Abraham's legitimate wife, didn't believe that she would bear a child, she convinced Abraham, and Abraham consented to invite Hagar to invade their marriage. And there was endless trouble. Trouble that exists to this very day. Therefore, when we are tempted, when we are unfaithful to the Lord and His Word, He calls us once again to repentance. He calls us to transform once again in our new circumstance. We came today to ask for His forgiveness, once again to depend on His mercy and His grace. We come to Him who is able to condemn us for our unfaithfulness, and yet He has given us His word of forgiveness because of the one represented by the cross, as we heard today, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. So that Paul could say in Romans chapter 28, at chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all, for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. What is an amazing thing that our Lord gives what is good even when we are not. For the Lord Himself is good, and even declaring the unrighteous righteous, the sinner who is saint. So that the writer of the Hebrews writes, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever who would draw near to God must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him. And so we come to seek Him this day, living the way He has called us to live, that is, living a life of repentance. Now for the test of faith. How far can faith be stretched? Faith in the very Lord, who can do all things, can stretch beyond our circumstances, as we heard in Romans chapter 28, chapter 8, verse 28. But it also reaches beyond death. Hear what he had said, and these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. There are more promises for God to fulfill, even after our own death. The promises drew God's faithful people of old forward. God was not going to bring them back to the good old days, but to His new creation, His new city. And the example that we have is the Exodus, right? When things were getting tough, what did God's people do in the wilderness? Oh, if we only would have just stayed back in Egypt, right? Where we had meat and all kinds of things to eat, right? And it's amazing what our mind will do, you know, when things get tough and we begin to remember the good old days. Really? Were they really good old days? Back in Egypt, they were slaves, humiliated. And all they could look forward to is death. But God gets us through in faith and trust and belief. Through the times that there is no money, that there is no food, that there is no hope, that there is no cure, even helps us not to go back to our good old ways in the not so good old days. It gets us through the times that we are tempted to be unfaithful. It gets us through the times that we are faced with death, the times that we have to look death right in the face. Though death engulf us, the Lord is faithful, faithful to His word, even after we die. What a blessed gift faith is. And what is faith? It is this simple definition given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things that are not seen. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.